It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hello, welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. It is February 7th of 2023, and however you are tuned in, I appreciate it very, very much. A lot of ways to listen. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app on your smart speaker. Or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page, if you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650thefan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports in your Facebook feed. What's not to like there? Also, make sure you bookmark that website. Not only can you get the stream of the station programming there, you can get the broadcast calendar. That'll tell you all of our upcoming games that we'll broadcast, all sorts of local and statewide sports news, programming. We've got Super Bowl 57 coming up this Sunday from our great partners at Westwood One Sports. Pregame of that begins at 1 o'clock and kickoff, of course, at 5:30. And, you know, I'll just repeat what I said yesterday and that I understand the Super Bowl is a made-for-TV event, but we can't all be in front of the TV for the marathon that is that broadcast. And what's really, really nice this season is that the NFL allowed stations to stream. So you can now get all of our NFL games that we have on our app. You can fire it up on your smart speaker at home. You can, of course, go to that aforementioned stream at the website, listen to it there. So wherever you're at, if you got some honeydew stuff to go take care of, some errands to run, you can't be in front of the big screen. Our partners, like I mentioned, at Westwood One Sports, they do such a great job with the pregame. Obviously, usually there's so many great stories that are told, whether it be with the television or the radio broadcast. And I think that stuff a lot of times is every bit as compelling with how the actual Super Bowl itself plays out. So keep that in mind as we approach Super Bowl Sunday that, you know, I get it. You're probably not preferring to listen to the Super Bowl, but if push comes to shove, you got to make a run somewhere, and you're in a pinch, know that we got you taken care of. All right, if you want to join the show today with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show, questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, by all means, fire away. Just know I might read your email on the air. Try to keep your profanities to a minimum. Try. The email address, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Like usual, in just a few short moments, we'll get it going here today on the show with area sports news and scores. Got plenty to get to in the stack today. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. And if you heard the forecast there at the top of the hour like I did, I was working away this afternoon, wasn't really paying attention when Megan Mulford had the forecast like usual for us at the end of each hour. They've updated that little overnight snowstorm I think that's like Thursday 1 a.m. to Thursday at 1 p.m. from 1 to 3 inches to 4 to 8 inches all of a sudden. And or 5 to 10, I think is what Megan said. Then I double-checked online at another source that had it at 4 to 8. But I think maybe, hopefully, possibly, we're getting some of this snowpack off the ground right now, and maybe this stuff won't hang around like the last stuff or a handful of snows have. Maybe. I don't know. That groundhog said 6 more weeks, and I got nothing nice to say about that groundhog, so let's just stop talking about the weather and talking about something. Well, I don't know. Is this more fun to talk about Brian Ferentz? Maybe it is for... I mean, that's going to split the audience, isn't it? This news broke yesterday during the show, but it was one of those things where I became aware of it during the show. I had all the plans, all the content loaded up, like usual, for the hour that we have together. And it just, there was just no sense in even trying to get into it at all, because I would have got, you know, I would have got rolling and then the show would have been over before I could even really get started. And I'm not even sure where to start now. So if you've been living under a rock, the much maligned Iowa football offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz has had his contract amended by Gary Barta. Gary Barta, the Iowa athletic director, if you do not remember this, due to Iowa's nepotism clause, yes, nepotism, because, of course, Brian is Kirk's son, Gary Barta operates as Brian's boss. He is his superior. That is technically who Brian Ferentz reports to. And whatever forces of pressure made this happen, I cannot think that it's just Gary Barta on his own. I just can't. Brian Ferentz is taking a $50,000 pay cut, which I would like to know maybe one day, but I'm not sure what it means to get a $50,000 pay cut going from $900,000 to $850,000 a year. So forgive me if I don't shed a tear for Brian Ferentz for his massive $50,000 pay cut on a salary that was $900,000. So that's a thing. Then there's performance objectives in this contract that if they are not met in this upcoming 2023 football season by the Iowa Hawkeyes, Brian Ferentz's contract will be terminated in June. What did it say? June of 2024, if I'm not mistaken. And David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com will be along like usual on a Tuesday around 5:15 in the next segment. To sort this all out with us. We're also going to talk Iowa men's and women's basketball. I don't want Brian Ferentz's ineptitude to completely take away from continuing to talk basketball at this, you know, it, right here in the sweet spot of the season. So David said he'd be willing to hang around a little longer than usual today, but getting back to the Ferentz contract amendment, 7 wins, which can include a bowl win, is one of the performance objectives that has to be met, has to. And the other is 25 points per game by the Iowa. Well, here's the thing, not necessarily by the Iowa offense, just by the team. The team has to average 25 points per game. And we know Iowa's defense is one of the more dynamic defenses in college football over the past half decade or so. And they're going to contribute some. And one of the first things I replied to a friend of mine who had texted me during the show yesterday with, you know, telling me this news was, you watch, as much, I know this is going to piss people off, as much as Kirk Ferentz purports sportsmanship and playing the game the right way, doing the right things, I swear to you that Iowa's got Utah State in week one. It's got Western Michigan in week three. Those are its two out-of-conference games that are not Iowa State. I don't think much can be said at all for any certainty on how any of their Big Ten games will go. But if Utah State and Western Michigan prove to be outclassed by the Iowa Hawkeyes, bet your life on Iowa running the score up against those two teams. Bet your life on it. And all that righteous talk about sportsmanship and playing the right way, all that, guess what? Blood's thicker than water. That's all I got to say about that. And I'll bring that up to David when he joins us in the next segment. But there's a lot of I don't know if fallout is too strong of a word, but there's a lot of criticism for this, like what's left from this coming out. And it was going to come out no matter what. Iowa's a public university. And, you know, whether they wanted to put it out there or didn't, eventually it would have got an FOIA and it would have gotten out there, even though they hid that contract extension for Fran McCaffrey for like 6 or 8 months. That aside, this is, what does this mean for the dynamics of the staff? What does this mean for team morale? What does this mean for recruiting? There's a lot of impact to a contract of this nature. And I'm sure it's happened before, but I've never heard of it happening. So that's a part of this too. A pretty decent topic to take to a sports talk radio show. Gary Barta just wrapped this present up, and you may as well walked into every sports talk radio station's studio in the great state of Iowa or throughout the Big Ten community and just could have walked in and just set the proverbial present down. Thanks, Gary Barta. You can leave now. The door is over there. But David Eicholt in the next segment. We'll chop it up with David about this and much more. After we're done with David, of course, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break, and I've got some audio from UNI softball coach Ryan Jacobs, Panthers reigning MVC champs and picked number one in the preseason poll. So they're going to get it going on Friday with the annual Unidome Classic. Also got some audio from Drake men's basketball coach Darren DeVries, if time permits, and Iowa State coach TJ Altzelberger. So a little bit of a potpourri third segment, if you will, to look forward to. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time on this Tuesday and wrap up the show. So that's the plan, boys and girls. Let's dive right in. Last night in a Metro girls basketball game, Jessup defeated Waterloo Columbus in a regular season finale, 62-48. Meanwhile, tonight in Metro hoops, the Waterloo West girls, third-ranked Wahawks, play at Western Dubuque, while the Wahawk boys are at home against the Bobcats. The Cedar Falls boys are hosting Dubuque Wallert, while the eighth or ninth-ranked, I don't have it put to memory. They've been bumping around a little bit lately, so 8th or 9th ranked Cedar Falls girls on the road at Dubuque Wallert. That game, you can listen to it on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage begins around 7:15 with Dave Finnegan. High school boys basketball postseason pairings have been released in Class 1A and 2A. Preliminary round games in 1A begin on Friday. First round district games in 1A and 2A get underway this coming Monday, February 13th. I can tell you, we are making plans to broadcast Dunkerton's first-round district game on Monday the 13th. That will be right here on The Fan, if everything lines up like it should. And it should start around 6:45. We'll have more details on that potential broadcast as the week continues here. Meanwhile, in 2A, a Metro school will be in action as Waterloo Columbus plays at Cascade in a first-round matchup. You can see complete pairings at the Iowa High School Athletic Association website. A pair of Waterloo Blackhawks have earned honors from the United States Hockey League. The Hawks' Gavin O'Connell has been named the forward of the week, while Ben Robertson is the defenseman of the week. O'Connell scored 2 goals and a win at Dubuque, 2 more in Saturday's OT win at home against Fargo. Finished the week with 5 goals and an assist. For the season, he has 13 goals and 12 assists in 35 games. Robertson had a huge game against Dubuque with a goal and 4 assists in that 7-3 victory. For the season, he leads all USHL defensemen with 27 assists. Speaking of assists, Iowa women's basketball player Caitlin Clark has been named Big Ten Player of the Week. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Against 8th-ranked Maryland, 42 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds for Clark. Then against Penn State, her 9th career triple-double, 23 points, 14 assists, and 10 rebounds. It's the 17th time Clark has earned the Conference Player of the Week award, which ties her for 3rd most in Big Ten history. The Iowa football team, speaking of, taking on Northwestern at a unique venue this season. Wrigley Field is that venue. where my Chicago Cubs play, going to host the Hawkeyes and Wildcats on November 4th. Northwestern has hosted Illinois in 2010 and Purdue in 2021 at Wrigley. Of course, Wrigley Field has a long history of hosting football games. My Chicago Bears played there from 1921 to 1970. And the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the Canadian Football League have hired UNI tight ends coach and former standout Iowa Hawkeye quarterback Drew Tate. Tate's going to be the receivers coach for the Rough Riders. He was a former CFL quarterback, played over 9 seasons in the league with a trio of teams. Last year was his first with UNI. And, of course, he starred collegiately at Iowa, where he threw for 8,292 yards and 61 touchdowns. And tomorrow night on The Fan, you can listen to Iowa State men's basketball at West Virginia. Pregame coverage of that one's going to begin at 5. No show tomorrow. And tip-off at 6. Cyclones, a perfect 12-0 at home this season, but they need some good vibes away from Hilton Coliseum, where they are just 2-5. Need a win tomorrow night against the Mountaineers to stay in the thick of that Big 12 race. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we're going to break it all down. This Brian Ferentz contract amendment. We'll talk Iowa men's and women's basketball. We'll do it all with David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. That's next, right here on The Fan.
Flash. Well, with Patrick Mahomes nursing a sore ankle and facing a defensive front that was the best in the NFL, the Chiefs' offensive line will be under scrutiny Sunday. Head coach Andy Reid said this unit is even better than the previous ones that went to the Super Bowl.
The offensive line has done a nice job. We actually have a couple of the guys still remaining from that team, and then we've added a few in. Brett Veach made that.
Hey, David, you copy?
One of his projects after that Super Bowl and did a nice job.
All right,
job
cool. About 3 minutes.
The new guys. They fit in well and done well.
The 49ers are reportedly hiring Steve Wilks as their new defensive coordinator. The former Panthers interim replaces D'Amico Ryans, who was named head coach of the Texans. In addition to being the NBA's best, LeBron James is also a big sports fan, so he understands how special the NBA's all-time scoring record is, and he is closing in on it, 36 points shy of passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the all-time list. And he can do it tonight when the Lakers host the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Suns welcome back Devin Booker, who's yet to play in 2023. They're in Brooklyn tonight, and the 3-time All-Star has been out since Christmas Day with a groin injury, but will be back tonight. I'm Rich Acker.
Coming up later, it's the Zach Gelb Show, live from Radio Row. Trevor Lawrence, the QB of the Jaguars, will stop by, and David Tyree, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Put the smart in your speaker. Just say, hey, Google, play 1650 The Fan.
February is American Heart Month, and at the Waterloo Career Center, we have students who are fast-tracked to go into the medical profession. Our classrooms include hospital-grade equipment, like an ambulance simulator that provides our EMS learners with the opportunity to train in the most realistic way possible. And our students, well, they're just like Ray.
Hello, my name is Ray, and my goal is to save lives as a paramedic and EMT.
Ray is a senior at Expo and is studying right now to be an emergency medical technician and paramedic. Her goal is saving lives. At the Waterloo Career Center, we offer a collegiate-level academic experience in almost 20 tuition-free programs. We're proud to help Ray and students all over the Cedar Valley do more of what they love and what they do well. Do you have a middle or high school student in your life? What's their goal? Help them find it at the Waterloo Career Center. Give us a call at 319-433-1803. With us, the future is now.
Great health insurance benefits help retain top talent. That's where Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield comes in. Call Brian Brummel with Brummel Madsen Insurance in Cedar Falls at 266-2644 to find health insurance plans that are right for your business and your employees. Brian Brummel is a local, authorized, independent agent for Wellmark, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield of Iowa. Call Brummel Madsen Insurance in downtown Cedar Falls today.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Great Bulldogs at a four-way tie for first place in the Missouri Valley Conference, 19-6, 10-4 in league play. The Bulldogs have won five straight. And they're the three-point road favorite at Murray State today with a total of 140.5. Murray State has won 9 of 10 at home this season. In the Big Ten, it's Indiana laying 4.5 at home with Rutgers. Michigan State, the four-point home favorite with Maryland. And postponed today, Illinois at home with Minnesota. COVID concern for the Gophers basketball program. Chicago Bulls, a 7.5-point dog of the Memphis Grizzlies today. The NFL Super Bowl 57 Sunday, Eagles laying 1.5 against the Chiefs. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A winter storm watch begins at midnight Thursday morning and continues until noon Thursday. Lows level off around 22. Tonight, under clear skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 42. 29 tomorrow night, mixed precipitation likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 34.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show. And as I was saying, yesterday during this program, the news broke, and boy, did it break, about Brian Ferentz, the much-maligned Iowa football offensive coordinator, having his contract amended where it includes not just a pay cut, but performance objectives that if they're not met, hasta la bye-bye, Brian Ferentz. And so who better than our Iowa Hawkeye insider, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, to join us on the show today and break this all down. David, I have made it very clear to you that you are joining the show today with no performance objectives, so I hope that that means that you can, you know, just bring your best stuff like you usually do.
Well, to be fair, Cole, based on the difficulty of these performance objectives, I don't even think I need to bring my best to be able to hit them. So, but no, it's good to be joining you. I appreciate you having me back.
Well played. Well played. Look at that. All right. Yeah, this is really something, because one of the last things I said about this in the monologue, David, was that I'm sure this has happened plenty of times in college football, and I know it's in other sports. I mean, you see it all over in player contracts with performance incentives, but Can you speak at all to what any sort of rarity or not rarity of this for a coordinator of a Division I college football team?
You know, I think it's an interesting question. I'm sure they're in a lot of different contracts, but to make it so publicly known this early certainly raises my eyebrows. And then, of course, where you talk about how if he doesn't hit those goals that the contract would be terminated, wouldn't necessarily mean Brian is terminated. The contract would be terminated, because here's a hypothetical for you, Cole. If Iowa wins 10 games and they average 23.9 points per game and go to the Big Ten title, they're not getting rid of Brian. They made a Big Ten title. They're not getting rid of Brian.
Great point.
From my standpoint. So I kind of, my eyes kind of rolled in the back of my head when I read that. And it's very interesting to me that last week Kirk said, eight's not the goal. I want to make sure that's clear. Eight's not the goal. And he was so quick to tell, hey, we've won eight games or more since 2015. One of six programs in the country to do that. It's all well and good, and that's 100% true.
Sure.
But then you make the incentive, you make the performance objective seven wins, including a bowl game. So Iowa hypothetically could go 6-6, average 27 points, and then win a bowl game. That's seven wins, they're averaging 28 points.
Yeah. David,
it's spoon fed, man. It's just insane to me that they were so quick to publicize it, and they're as low as they are.
That's the thing. You and I, we work in content, so by nature you're adjacent to public relations and how communications departments go about their business. Iowa, for as much as people want to, you know, pile on Brian Ferentz, rightfully so, anything else, there's, to my knowledge, there's not much criticism to be had of that Iowa Athletics Communications Department. And so, you know, they stuck that, they hid that Fran McCaffrey extension, and everybody was kind of like, okay, like, not sure why you did that, but now we know, and that's kind of weird. Like, this is the one where you go, no, this is where you wait for Chad Leistikow or David Eichold or somebody to file an FOIA.
Absolutely.
I can't believe that this is how they've approached this.
I saw a meme earlier, Cole, and, you know, you have to give the Iowa's PR credit because I thought they nailed the Orange Crush situation.
Yeah.
With the statement, with giving the kids the VIP treatment. I don't care if people say it was a marketing ploy. Those kids don't see it that way, and the kids got a time of their life.
I loved it.
I don't care about that. You know, the kids enjoyed it. That's all. But then they come out, what, 2 days later, and all this happens. One day later, even. And as Thanos said, perfectly balanced, as all things should. They botch it, and they nail certain things. So it's balanced. But no, it's like you said, I think – they should have waited for an FOIA. I don't know why they were so quick to publicize it, because if you thought the national media was piling on Iowa before, they're doing it now. And I think the thing that frustrates Iowa fans the most, and I'll get to the point about recruiting in a second,
yeah,
is Iowa fans are very passionate about the program. You know that. But there's a lot of outsiders and rival fan bases that say Iowa's okay with being mediocre. Now, mediocre, 7-8 wins, I don't think that's mediocre.
Right.
I mean, there's certain right? That's overblown. But Iowa can't really defend themselves against that now, because you look at the schedule next year, it's easy. You look at the additions they've made. They've addressed certain things. And the objective is to win 7 games. That's the public. Now, you know, behind the scenes, they're trying to win every game, Big Ten title, et cetera. But you're going to go to the public and say our goal is 7 wins.
Yeah, because the thing is that there's two things at work here. I think one is you try to save some face by doing this contract amendment, while at the same time they don't want unrealistic expectations as it relates to Iowa football's, you know, its history preceding itself, where it's not a dynamic offense, where, you know, hey, we don't have a problem with an 8-win season. Of course we'd rather win 10. We know we're capable from time to time of doing it, but there's two things at work here. It's, I think, a little bit of, we want to make it look good, but we also would like to keep Brian around and not make it unrealistic, while at the same time you're giving off this image of, well, anything that is a quote-unquote performance objective is going to come off a way in which the fan base interprets it as, like you're pointing out here, where you're going, wait, that's it? That's all we want?
Absolutely. And I would say I took issue with another thing we haven't talked about. Why is it points? Why isn't it offensive points?
Exactly.
Yep. Because Phil Parker was responsible for 6 touchdowns last year. And they averaged 17 points. Special teams, LeVar Woods is getting a touchdown or two.
Yep.
And do we even it's just asinine to me that they're so tone deaf. You know what 25 points per game gets you, Cole, ranking-wise last year?
Isn't it like mid-80s? So like
85th.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's not even striving to be average. That's still below average.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And then the thing is, too, and I knew you were getting toward this, is what does this mean for recruiting? All these recruits are on social media. They see all the trending news. What does this do to team morale? Does it add some pressure that nobody would ever acknowledge, but add some pressure to the guys that play offense right now for the University of Iowa? What does it do to dynamics on the staff? I mean, maybe other guys have performance objectives, but of course theirs haven't been publicized like this. There's a lot of tentacles here.
I think this is tough for Iowa recruiting wise. It's already tough to recruit wide receivers at Iowa. Kelton Copeland said that during his press conference during the season. But how are you going to convince a 2024 kid and buy stock in the offense when they don't even know if their coordinator is going to be there next year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the tough part. And the other thing is, why is there so much more pressure on Phil Parker and LeVar Woods than Brian Ferentz? And that's something that I just can't get out of my head. And another, I hate the hypotheticals, you know that. But there's one I keep coming back to in this situation. If Phil Parker and LeVar Woods were top 30 coordinators in their craft and not top three or top five, does Brian keep his job?
That's a great point. That's a great question to ask.
Because I say no.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, I mean, it would be that much uglier. Like, I remember us talking 3-4 weeks into last season, it didn't look like a team that was going to become bowl eligible. It looked like a team that might only win 4 games, and bottoming out, quote-unquote, in the Ferentz era has been 6 wins, or maybe like once it was 5-7 or something like that. That's how close the margin has been, but here Phil Parker with his Superman cape on.
And that's, again, it's just the crazy part. Again, I'm sure there's incentives across the board. It would surprise me if not. But given the nepotism, given the horrible offensive production, here's the most damning stat, Cole, that people are focused on the offense, the total offense focused on the scoring. And this is according to Chris Hummer of 24/7 Sports, who put out a very scathing column earlier today. Iowa under Brian Ferentz, and everybody talks about total offense being overblown, right? Mm-hmm. Let's focus on yards per play. Under Brian Ferentz, Iowa has never been in the top half of the Big Ten in yards per play.
Oh, my. Wow. Yeah, and that's the hell of it, man. There are so many stats out there that make you think, man, this guy would have been so much better off sticking as an offensive line coach. And you know what? On this show, me and you, last offseason said, make it easy. Make him a co-offensive coordinator. Make him the run game coordinator. And bring in a passing game coordinator. There you got 2 years. Nobody's going to get ran out in the first year of that kind of pairing. Oh, it was our first year working together. It didn't go like we wanted. But, you know, we really like how far ahead we've gotten in this relationship. And then everybody knows if it doesn't go well in year two, then you just bounce that passing game coordinator. I don't know why a guy who just sits here in a studio in Cedar Falls is smart enough to know that. And nobody that wears fancy suits and sits around very expensive wooden desks down in Iowa City can't figure that much out.
This is a situation that will never, ever happen across the board of college athletics again. There are so many factors, and it's so weird to me. And the dynamic is this. I think you can give Kirk Ferentz a lot of credit for the way they've attacked the portal, and yeah. People need to be able to separate with Brian and the other factors in, right?
Yeah.
But it's almost as if there's a certain amount of Iowa fans that are so nervous to criticize Kirk, because Kirk has built up so much goodwill within the program, and they feel like they're betraying him by criticizing him. So every move, it's great that we're bringing Brian back. It's great this. Why do we need a great offense if our defense doesn't allow anything? Because that's how you win championships in modern-day college football.
So where did David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now, Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, so where did the pressure come from, do you think? Do you have any sort of inclination, any insiders, any source speculation? I mean, was it big money donors that have turned, maybe not obviously completely on Kirk, but enough on Kirk to, basically ask and require some sort of pressure on Brian? Was it maybe institutional from up the chain from Gary Barda? Where do you think this pressure came from? Because I cannot be convinced that Gary Barda woke up one day all of a sudden with some cojones and decided that he was going to be the guy that engineered this contract amendment.
I think there's a lot of factors in this situation. One, I think they understand that there's going to be a good amount of the fan base that's not going to renew their season tickets. Like, I think the revenue is going to take a hit this year because of that. And I can't blame people. I also would say that I'm not fully convinced everyone within Iowa Athletics and the boosters are totally on board with bringing Brian back. I think there's too many smart people at work to believe that. But this is it's a hypothetical, but I think this is entirely plausible, and I think there are some facts to back this up. If Iowa had gone over Kirk and removed Brian, that absolutely accelerates Kirk's departure from the University of Iowa. And that's what they don't want to happen. And that's the biggest reason one of the biggest reasons why he's back. And I would also say this, and this is something I know for 100% fact. I've been told by various sources that there were NFL teams interested in Brian, and Brian was very interested in leaving. And the impending lawsuit has had more to do than most people anticipated as far as why he was not hired in the NFL.
Can't say I'm surprised to hear that. One last thing, just to button this up for now. Obviously, this will continue to be a point of conversation until they kick off next season. And then it'll still continue to be a point of conversation. Which
it's almost going to overshadow the team, Cole. Yeah, that's the sad part about it.
Exactly. And we're the type where someone goes, well, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, guys, because you're the ones who always got to have sources and always want to file the FOIAs. But it's kind of their job to make us get the sources and make us file the FOIAs. And that just bewilders me among many things that could in this scenario. The last thing I will say, though, if at all possible, against Utah State in week one and against Western Michigan in week one, Kirk Ferentz's sportsmanship, his playing the game the right way, David, bet your life on running those scores up if they can.
Well, the thing is, they only put up 27 points against Nevada, and they gave up 56 to Incarnate Word.
If they can, they will.
That's the thing. I don't want to hear if they go out there and do what they're supposed to do, go 10-2, go 9-3, average 28 to 29 points. I don't want to hear the puffing of the chest, because the reality is this. There is no other school in the country that would have allowed Brian Ferentz to have a chance in a seventh year, given all the statistical data that's behind about the failure of the offense. So I don't want to hear puff in the chest. This is why we doubled. This is why we tripled down. With that roster, with that schedule, anybody should be able to accomplish those performance objectives.
Yeah, there's no way to spin it into a win, even if the objectives are met. Really quickly, a little bit of time left here with David. He told us he'd stick around long, given all the meat we knew was going to be on the proverbial bone today. Make sure that you bookmark HawkeyeInsider.com and follow David on Twitter at David Eicholt. I mean, hey, don't look now, but Fran McCaffrey's Iowa Hawkeyes, they're winners of three in a row, a really, really good win on Saturday against a good Illinois team, 81-79. David, you know, we've talked about rebounding really being the culprit for this team and defense at times lacking in these last three games. Is that the thing that you would point to, or is there maybe a little bit more than meets the eye?
Man, I'll tell you, that Illinois game, I think, was the biggest win of Iowa's season so far. I mean, that team has had Iowa's number. They've gone down the wire in recent years, but Iowa kind of being able to put it together. And that's a good Illinois team. I think that Illinois team can be a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight caliber team. I really think they're that good. But getting Tony Perkins back, you know, having a career high 32 is huge. I think the defense is still a little bit suspect, but Iowa has been able to clamp down when they've needed to. But that offense, man, I mean, Illinois' defense has been good. Northwestern's defense has been spectacular. Rutgers' defense has been spectacular. Over the past week, Iowa being able to generate those high point totals against the nation's best defenses, despite Iowa, quote unquote, lacking shooters, it's been pretty amazing to watch Fran McCaffrey's system at work. But I'm with you. I'm very intrigued about what this team can do. I think they need to get back to their rebounding prowess. I thought they got totally outclassed by Illinois, and Zach Edey for Purdue might have 40 and 30, and it wouldn't surprise me in that game on Thursday with what he's been able to do. But, you know, I've been very impressed with Iowa's unselfishness. There's a lot of guys that can get hot on that team, a lot of guys that can be going after their own numbers, and that hasn't been the case. I mean, it got to a point, Cole, where Tony Perkins' teammates were telling Fran what plays to call for Tony because Tony got the hot hand, because he was able to get the free throw line. So I think that sort of unselfishness and the offensive prowess can translate, but they got to be able to step up defensively. Analytically, they're not good right now.
And they're going to have their hands full, it goes without saying, at Purdue on Thursday night, the nation's top-ranked team. David, I was gushing like people do about Caitlin Clark yesterday on the show after I watched Iowa basically commit a murder on cable television over Penn State on Sunday in Happy Valley. I mean, that was just obscene what happened in that game. But, you know, my main takeaway was, and I was texting a friend of mine about this who's a big Caitlin Clark fan, where I was like, every time that Monica Sinano, Hannah Stolke will put that show hand up in the post, whatever block that they're on or at the mid post, Caitlin Clark's ability to throw those passes and throw them with precision to where it's caught in a motion where it's drop step layup, and therein lies the field goal percentage. I'm not trying to take it all away by no stretch from Monica and her ability, or Hannah Stolke, her ability. But those passes, along with a skip pass where it's like, man, I watch a lot of basketball, but I didn't even see that skip pass. And I got the full court. Like, I'm not standing on one end of the court like Caitlin Clark. Like, I got the aerial view right here. Those two brand of passes that she throws had me thinking, with respect to everybody who's in the WNBA, that Caitlin Clark may be the best passer in the world among women's basketball players right now.
I don't think that's a hot take, and I'll say this to add on to it. I think Caitlin Clark's a better passer than shooter, and I think that's about the ultimate compliment I can give her.
Yeah,
because she's so outstanding with her distance and everything. And I'll say this, Cole, if get the dump button ready if Caitlin Clark does not win National Player of the Year and you have me on.
Okay.
Because I still hear Aaliyah Boston, people are saying she's the best player. She's averaging 12-9. Caitlin can get that in a quarter at this point with what we've seen. It's utterly ridiculous. And the thing is, she shows out when it matters most
yep.
on national TV against primetime competition. I cannot wait for this Indiana-Iowa showdown. Indiana's phenomenal this year as well. But I'm with you. I don't think it's crazy to say she might be one of the best passers, if not the best passer in the world. And she somehow continues to get better and better. And something that people need to know, her turnovers are down from last year as well, despite the usage rate remaining the same. And it's crazy to watch this women's team come together and what they're doing. And if Caitlin Clark comes back for that fifth season, Cole, she's coming for every record under the sun. And that will probably last for the rest of her life, and as long as women's basketball exists.
I hope she does. And the last thing here, and thanks again for being so kind with your time today, and I don't want this to sound wrong, but she would be the seventh or eighth person at least in Fran McCaffrey's rotation. You can't convince me that Caitlin Clark could not play Division I college basketball as someone who could catch and shoot, as someone who could be a factor in transition. I totally understand how teams would attack her. They'd put her in pick and roll. They'd get physical with her out there on the floor. You'd probably have to play zone defense with her out there, and they'd still try to run pick and roll against her. But the point is, I still think she could come away with a good plus minus. This is the first time where I've just been like, I mean, Fran McCaffrey, like, maybe you should have seriously considered this. it first came to mind when Peyton Sanford was having his struggles earlier this year. And I believe it. I'm not just saying it to get a rise out of people because I'm on the radio. Like, I believe that.
I would not say that probably about anyone else. And I probably agree with you. I she'd be able to shoot the basketball. She'd be able to do certain things. She'd be able to pass. And that's why I keep trying to tell people Aaliyah Boston's phenomenal. Aaliyah Edwards is great. Angel Reese is legit. She's like 24-15 this season.
Yeah.
She's been unbelievable for she who shall not be named, who coaches that LSU squad. But Caitlin Clark is a generational talent
yep.
that college basketball has not seen. Look, Sabrina Ionescu's phenomenal. She cannot shoot the ball the way Caitlin Clark does.
Right.
So it's been it's crazy to watch.
David, great stuff, man. I think you probably need to do some breathing exercises after this segment, but nonetheless, great great stuff. And if there were performance objectives, you met them.
Hey, I appreciate you, buddy. I'll wait for that pack of gum we were texting about earlier.
All right, I'll get it in the mail. You got it, man. Take care.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. Too kind with his time today with a lot to talk about as it relates to Hawkeye football, men's and women's basketball. Let's take this time out. We're way late. We'll come back. Got some audio from UNI softball coach Ryan Jacobs. We'll try to get to some of that next on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Drake takes a five-game winning streak on the road to Murray State tonight. At 10-4, the Bulldogs are part of a four-way tie for first in the Missouri Valley race. The Racers are two games back at 8-6.
Really good at home. Like when you look at their numbers, I mean, they put up some incredible stats, both offensively and defensively at home. So, haven't played here or been here before, but certainly by the numbers, looks like they get great crowds as well. So it should be a really fun environment.
That's Drake coach Darren DeVries. Minnesota coach Ben Johnson is hoping the Gophers will still be able to host Iowa Sunday. Their game at Illinois was postponed tonight due to COVID issues in the Gopher program.
You know, thankfully, you know, nobody's in any threat of any major health issues. So that's the good part. And now we just got to get back to getting back full strength and getting our numbers up so we can play this weekend, hopefully.
Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dummies Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today. Sign up as a member and get the first month free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online on Facebook or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. Attention all parents in Cedar Falls whose children will be in the class of 2036. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th in order to attend kindergarten in the 2023-24 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student. The principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed kindergarten registration forms are required for all incoming students and must be turned in by March 30th. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. Visit cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
All aboard the Panther train as Coach Doug Schwab's nationally ranked UNI wrestling team hosts number 2 Iowa State Friday night, 7 o'clock in McLeod Center. It's UNI's final home duel of the season. Panther Wrestling Friday night, 7 o'clock McLeod Center. Get your tickets today at unipanthers.com/promo or call 273-4849. That's 273-4849.
You are listening to the one-stop shop for local and statewide sports talk. Cole and Company with Colbert. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Went long with David Eicholt in that last segment. Great stuff with David. If you missed any of it, podcast will be available by the top of the hour at 1650thefan.com. But the Unidome Classic gets going this Friday at noon, and that is the annual UNI softball season opener. And Ryan Jacobs, his Panthers, after winning the Missouri Valley last season, picked number 1 in the preseason poll. Big expectations once again, and got their eyes set on getting back to the NCAA tournament. Here's Coach Jacobs with a overall look at his team that they will debut, like I mentioned, on Friday for this 2023 season at the Unidome Classic.
You know, we've got really good pitching right now. I think obviously you return KP and Sammy Heyer, who did a great job for us. But the development of Anna Wisnowski in the circle, you know, we're excited to see what she's going to bring to the table and bring to the depth of our pitching staff. You know, you start there and then you go right up the middle of the field. Unfortunately, you know, we're not going to have Emmy Wells behind the plate for us, but we have a freshman who's just stepped up and done a great job, and Alexis Papillo. swings a really heavy bat, works her tail off. Like, we won't miss a beat from a work ethic standpoint behind the plate, and a toughness and a headiness for the game. Up the middle, we've got Kylie Sanders at short and Taylor Hogan at second base. Again, their chemistry between the two of them has just gotten better and better. I didn't think I'd see a big jump in Taylor this year, but this fall, like, she was doing things that I never expected her to do, even more than what she has done in the past. She just continues to impress me with her work ethic and her coachability. I think it says a lot about a kid who's doing two sports, competing at a high level again for the fourth year in a row, but not getting complacent and not staying the same, continuing to get better. And then this year we're going to put Maya Dodge in center field. Didn't get a whole lot of time last year in the outfield, but we knew what she was going to bring to the table once Cam left, and we were able to move some pieces around. But we'll have three of our outfielders back from last year, and a lot of depth and a lot of experience. So looking to improve. I think that's the biggest thing right now from our team is, there's a lot written about us, and there's a lot that we did last year, but that is last year. Now we've got to start over, really start from scratch and wipe the whiteboard clean and go to work.
There you have it. UNI softball coach Ryan Jacobs. The Panthers get it going Friday with their 2023 season opener, the Unidome Classic. Iowa State, Drake, Nebraska, Omaha. If you're looking for some good softball, you can find it there. Let's take this final timeout. Come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Gashotti, and this is NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Super Bowl opening night took place on Monday, and Philadelphia quarterback Jalen Hurts spoke about how this year marks the first time there will be two black starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl as he squares off against Patrick Mahomes.
That's uplifting tomorrow's, the next generation of quarterbacks, that four-year-old, five-year-old kid back in Houston, back in Philly, back in Texas, Louisiana, wherever, across the world, that... regardless of what someone may say or have an opinion about you, you can do it. You can do it too.
Tom Brady announced on The Herd with Colin Cowherd that he won't begin his broadcasting career with Fox until the fall of 2024. Arizona Cardinals receiver A.J. Green announced his retirement on social media on Monday. And the Vikings have named former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores as their new defensive coordinator. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. Life is complicated. Your insurance shouldn't be. Why not simplify it with policy bundling? Grinnell Mutual and Denver Insurance give you lower rates for each policy when you bundle your home and auto insurance together. It's a one-and-done solution, and that's a win-win. Make your life easy with bundled insurance so you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent, at Denver Insurance today.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. LeBron James is knocking on the door of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record. James is just 36 points away from surpassing the all-time great. LeBron will have his first real opportunity to own the record against Oklahoma City tonight. With James averaging just over 30 points per game at age 38, it's only a matter of time until the King is the NBA leader in all-time points. But James needing 36 to pass Kareem, NBA fans will all be watching this star tonight at home. He's one of the greatest players of all time. And when you're that big of a superstar, fans expect superstar moments. James will have the opportunity tonight to have one of the most historic moments at one of the most historic arenas. Of course, there is a chance that LeBron falls short. 36 isn't easy to get in the NBA against any team, especially when the opposition knows you're going for the record. But all eyes should be glued on the TV tonight as we continue LeBron chase history in Los Angeles. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's Discover.com/online privacy protection. Football weather is here. Freezing temperatures, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires ready to tackle winter's worst? Well, the experts at TireRack.com will get your vehicle ready for primetime. They sell tires that dominate winter, like the Pirelli Soto Zero. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Test results, tire ratings, consumer reviews, all the stats you need to make the right call. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com once again for joining today's show. Also want to thank some of our great sponsors. There's a lot of them. We appreciate you all. Of our 2023 postseason winter sports coverage, wrestling, basketball, Denver Insurance, Rolling Ford, Channel Seeds, Wartburg College, Metro Transmission, Deary Brothers Collision Center, Waterloo Community Schools, Anderson Collision, City Builders, Peppers. That's just to name a handful of them. Make sure and check out that broadcast calendar. A lot coming up here on The Fan. Have a great night, everybody. I'm back Thursday.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.